forever.
Sweet dreams and rest in peace. This week on the podcast, Sinclair Smith's Dream Date.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today we have writer Marnie Scher with us. You may know her as the editor of AV Club's Podmas feature. Welcome.
Ooh, welcome.
Hello.
Marnie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing our show.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Today I switched it up by saying the name first. Really threw me off.
I noticed that too. But you know what? It's a Sunday. We don't always record on Sundays. We're weekend
versions. Lazy Sunday.
Lazy Sunday.
Remember that? Good.
I do remember that. That was back in the early 2000s.
Probably sing it for me. I don't think I remember it. Start from the top.
How does it start? Lazy Sunday. Afternoon.
Magnolia cupcakes.
That was really good.
That was really good.
I hope Andy Samberg heard that. And
I hope
feels
he's
threatened.
Fucking jealous.
I hope he's fucking jealous.
I hope he fucking produces something of mine.
We love you.
How are you doing, Marnie?
I'm doing great.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about it. It was very fun listening to the show for how long now? A year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
And now being here, it's a real dream.
Other side of the curtain, peek behind it.
It was so nice talking to you when you interviewed us.
We
just wanted it to keep
such a fun time.
That we knew we wanted you on the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I learned a lot from that interview. Even more about the male anatomy than Starlight Crystal taught us.
Yeah.
So
what a treat.
I must say I still don't understand how they work.
I don't remember what we said.
I never remember.
So it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come back someday.
Sorry, fellas.
Mysteries of the male anatomy. Am I right? Where's the dick?
Yeah. Where the D?
Yeah, where the D? And when you do find it, what do you do with it?
The D spot.
D spot.
Oh,
Did you read these kinds of books when you were a teenager?
I was into Goosebumps longer than I should have been. My sister definitely read like the Babysitter, R.L. Stine sort of stuff. I read Face on the Milk Carton and thought like, this is too adult for me and kind of got scared away from the genre for a while. So it's not I'm not the most familiar with it. So this was like a nice jump into 1993 pulp.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
This book reads like it was written in 1978, does it not?
It does feel a little older, yeah.
Because she's so dweeby.
She
is embarrassing.
She's
our main character.
Mm-hmm. She's a real drip.
Really? Like,
she's a drip and a half.
Like more boring than milk.
Everything
like
is
milk.
Brown.
Yeah, everything's brown.
Yeah.
She thinks it's daring to wear anything other than a pressed blouse and skirt to school with her hair back in a sensible, ponytail?
Brown clip.
A brown clip. That's right. Her traditional brown clip.
I mean, I will say in her defense that she does paint a picture of her parents being worse.
They are worse.
Far worse than she.
Because she wants more. And they're very, what's the word?
Terrible.
Repressed, like Midwestern repressed.
White.
Definitely read as white to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and she...
They all read as white.
She says she wants more and that she wants something different, but she's also always the one talking herself back down to this, like, excessive sensibility about everything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a reflexive dowdiness.
I know. And also, I mean, isn't she so lucky that, like, a man changed her that way to make her more exciting.
I will say that she is the most interesting in that diary entry at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Where she is suddenly very self-aware and confident. And she's like, some people would say that I invented him as a way to like come into my own. But I know he was real. I hope.
I know. She's like, I hope I'm not just losing my marbles.
Yeah.
I have to think that if they did more than half a draft on this book, they would have included more diary entries as like interstitial Katie.
Wasn't it weird that we only get one at the end?
It was like two.
Yeah. Or maybe there is one.
Weirder.
It is weirder because then that means there's like intent.
Yeah.
And you're like, but then why?
Yeah. But then see, she talks about it like three or four times.
Yeah.
And we get two of the entries. So that is like, yeah, if it were just one at the end, then it would be like, okay, strong finish with the diary that we heard about.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's just like, meh.
Yeah, it's like a cheeky little end note or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't create a pattern.
Should I read the back of the book?
Yes, you should.
Okay. Katie's worst nightmare has come true, and she's in it.
Ew.
Shy, pretty Katie longs to meet the – good thing she's pretty – meet the perfect guy. She thinks she has when she falls asleep one night and meets Heath Granger. In her dreams, Heath is handsome, charming, exciting. And if he's a little jealous, so the fuck what? He's only a dream. Or is he? Soon, Katie's sleeping more and more. While she's dreaming her life away, Heath is getting stronger. And he's getting meaner. And he doesn't want to stay in Katie's dreams anymore either. He went to visit her when she's awake. Katie's finding it harder and harder to tell what's real and what isn't. Her dream date has turned into a sleepwalk with terror. We didn't need that last line to do that. Sleepwalk with terror? Walk with
Mommy,
terror?
May I walk with terror?
Is that from something?
It's Mother, May I Sleep with Danger, the
there we go.
Lifetime
there we go.
Movie.
Mother, really? May I Sleepwalk with Terror?
Yeah.
May I sleepwalk with Granger?
Granger!
Hermione's brother.
Heath and Hermione.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's like, she's very boring at the beginning.
And in the middle.
And the end. Yes.
Well, the end starts to get interesting, I guess. I'll take that back.
Mm-hmm. She gains some strength.
Right. Where she's like, I have to fight him and I have this secret plan. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But like,
when she realizes this, my confidence wasn't coming from him. It was coming from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to fucking kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she really does have to figure this all out totally on her own. Like she has to grow by herself because she refuses to talk to anyone about this. And so it's really her internal dialogue, like pepping her up and motivating her to take him down. Mm-hmm. And I guess she does demonstrate growth in that way because she has to like volunteer to go back into these horrible dreams just to fight him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she, not only that, at the end, she has to trick him into letting her go back in the dream.
Yeah.
Because at that point, he's trying to just fully use her as a little puppet, just possess her.
And like sap all the energy from her.
Yeah.
I guess it would have been interesting if they hovered longer in him being like super hot and charming. And it's like they kind of did that once. And then the second time she goes back into the dream, he's like already very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I feel like he's pretty scary right away because he's like, you're my special girl.
He's
right?
Scary to you us, agree but not to her. See.
Yeah. And she does acknowledge that like, oh, I was kind of a dope for not seeing that right away. Mm-hmm. I was taken in. But she does actually realize it pretty quickly and does push back like second time he does it,
which is like, why
no,
which is why I would have liked him to lure her in more. Like I would have liked, because I think the thing, you know,
yeah, never, it was never like, oh, I do feel like I would prefer Heath,
right? Because there are people that, I mean, this story speaks to people that are in like these like, you know, unhealthy relationships where I wish that there were more like, we do get the cycle of like the what's it called? What's that thing called? Honeymoon cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So we do get the honeymoon cycle a little bit, but we don't get enough of him
being charming.
Like he's like handsome.
Yeah.
For like
muscles.
5 minutes. And then, and he has like muscles and he rides a motorcycle.
He calls her pretty.
He calls her pretty.
That's basically all it is. She's like, oh my God. Someone thinks I'm pretty, I'm in love.
Yeah, and then she's like, I'm going to wear my fucking hair down.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to put on a dress that I've been hiding in my closet. It is a somewhat fitting sweater dress.
Fuchsia.
When her mom was like, that sweater dress is a little too clingy. I was like, man, oh man, this family. Oh, this family. Also, okay, I the first picture I took, okay, also, I found this book. In case you guys are having trouble finding this book, I found it on Open Library on what's it called, on archive.org, and they have they have it uploaded on so you just can just read it,
like photos or a scan of it,
so you can read it for free, which is what I did, because I realized I did not order the book, and I was like, oh, I'm not gonna get it in time, and no libraries have it near me. But the first picture I took is how meanly she describes the Tipler twins.
Those twins. Yeah, I was, and then like they did not really come back.
They didn't come back, and they also weren't that mean. Like she was like, they're evil.
She talks about them being mean, but it never happens in present time.
No, never.
And like, why?
And even then, they're like, your house is maybe haunted. And she's like, how dare they?
How dare these ugly twins say that to me?
These fucking hideous twins. She's like, okay, this is
weird.
This is what she explains about them. It's so mean. The only ones who lived there were Katie and the Tipler twins, Sadie Lou and Melody Ann. The Tipler twins got stuck in the shallow end of the gene pool, in Katie's opinion. Large bat-like ears stuck out from pointed heads, rather too small for their big, graceless bodies. Both had paintbrush haircuts that would have been called pixies, except that the idea of anything about the Pixar twins being pixie-ish was ludicrous. And what they lacked in looks, they compounded by being thoroughly sly and mean-spirited. But all they do is, like, they say, don't you live in that old house on top of the hill, the one with the fields out back? Yes, Katie had replied, wanting to pull away. Sadie Lou Tipler had eyes as flat as nickels pressed into the round, doughy surface of her face.
What does that have to do with her question?
Yeah, it's like, why are you even looking at this? Like, why are you... Also,
yeah, it just says they're mean.
Yeah.
We don't really see it.
They ask if she's, and this is supposed to be the incident that makes them mean. It's like, once this happened. So they say that, then she says yes. And then they're like, that place has been abandoned for years. They say something awful happened there and it's haunted.
And she's like, shut your fucking mean, ugly faces.
She's like, you
fucking
dare you.
Your
eyes look like coins. Your face looks like dough. You are so ugly. Your hair looks like a paintbrush. Fuck no. My house is not haunted.
I wish I could call it a pixie cut, but you're fucking too fucking fat for it to be even like remotely like a pixie, because your bodies don't match.
And my house is only a little haunted.
Yeah,
I know.
Excuse me. My house is not haunted. My street is haunted.
My dreams are haunted.
I know.
Well, but that's just the book is like a fascinating study in like forgetting to put detail into the writing, because they're so specific about the twins.
Mm-hmm.
They'll like talk about the doughy faces, the coins and eyes and everything. And then hilariously, like they'll just be totally like devoid of detail later. She says, Katie rented Psycho and two other Hitchcock movies.
Yeah.
Like, just you say the other movie.
You literally couldn't find two other Hitchcock movies. We'll name them right now.
Rear Window.
Lady on the Train.
North by Northwest.
Vertigo.
Others.
The Man Who Knew Too Much.
Birds. Yes. The Man Who Ate Too Much?
The Man Who Ate Too Much. That's Fear Street.
Oh, sorry.
Fear Street.
It sounds like it.
There is, I keep looking for pictures of Fear Street, like a Fear Street covers, and one keeps coming up and I fucking hate it, and it's the boy who ate Fear Street, and there's just like bugs coming out of his mouth. It's really disgusting, and honestly I'm offended. I hate it. It's disgusting.
Never heard of or seen this cover. Whenever I Google Fear Street covers, it's always like cat, which is great. It's just a weird lady holding up a cat.
And it says C-A-T spells murder.
Wrong number. Which is like two girls in 90s in
bed
holding a phone going,
I'm sure, yeah. And they're probably very scandalized looking.
What the fuck is that?
I know. I hate it so much. It's disgusting.
He looks so happy about the
bugs. There's so many versions
like
of this cover, too.
It's Goosebumps for Fear Street.
Yeah.
Ew.
I know.
No, it's thank called, you.
Oh, God. Here's another one.
Oh, my fucking God.
Ew.
You just turned your head face away.
Fuck that. And I know authors don't have like any say over that stuff, but like, surely R.L. Stine can look at that and be like, this is not my ethos. This doesn't gel with what I do.
R.L. Stine, Fantasmas de Fear Street. El Chico que se trago Fear Street. Also.
No!
Separate.
That's like Garbage Pail Kids looking.
Isn't it Garbage Pail? It's disgusting. Yeah. It's really gross and disgusting. It's Ghosts of Fear Street.
Ugh.
And it keeps coming up because I scroll pretty deep to try and find some like interesting weird. Mm-hmm. I just type Fear Street and that always comes up, and it's very upsetting.
I don't like it.
Mm-mm.
I don't approve.
I know. It's one of his lowest points.
Well, what else did Sinclair Smith write? Is this, I mean, it's a pen name.
Yeah, I think that that's the tricky thing is, who knows? I wonder if one person had multiple pen names or what okay. am I trying to say? Like, not some. Just pen names, but also published under their own name. Like, I wonder if Richie Tankersley Cusick was also writing under, like, D.E. Athkins or Sinclair Smith.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
there's
get this.
No way to know, ready? Especially since I haven't looked into it.
The Waitress, which was 92. That's the first one. Then Dream Date. Then the Point Horror Collection. I think it's one of the short stories in it.
Mm.
Then there's Let Me Tell You How I Died. Then there's The Boy Next Door, The Diary, Double Date, Second Sight, Amnesia, another Point Horror Collection, Visions, and then Obsession.
I love the idea that you could just take a big suitcase full of the Point Horror books to like your summer vacay on the beach and just like blow through them all.
You totally could.
One a day if you're only devoting an hour and a half.
This book was such a quick read.
Yeah.
Yes. Like one sitting.
Yeah. Did you guys like the book? I mean, in terms of these kinds of books?
You know what? I had a fine time reading it, but it was very stupid. Yeah. It was like one of maybe the stupidest books we've ever read. Like just how she is at the beginning where before she knows that Heath is like actually a thing. Mm-hmm. She's like, I dreamed of Heath. And she's like, now that I've met Heath, I'm so different. And I'm like, girl, you dream him.
Yeah.
Like, I know that like later it turns out
she buys into it. Before she has any reason
and
to.
That was what I was gonna say. Like, you know how in most books, like, there's like all these supernatural things are happening and people and are like, in denial. I don't know what could be in
it's
this
the opposite.
Instantly, the second she meets Heath, she's like, oh, my whole life's gonna be different now. Heath, you know, I don't know if Heath would like that I'm going out with Jason, whatever.
Heath is really opening up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Miller, the most interesting name in school.
Well, and then she does the whole like going, she immediately is like, he's the best. He's the man for me, this man in my dreams.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then after he starts like threatening her in very real concrete ways, the chapters would end like, it was just a dream after all. Well, which is it?
But yeah, that's the thing.
You're either scared or you're not.
Yeah. It was very weird. It was like she just didn't want to commit to like, does she actually think it's a dream or is she just, it was very confusing about what she actually thought was happening. Because at times she would be like, well, Heath is not going to be pleased that I'm wearing a sexy sweater dress at school.
Yeah. But the ways that they did like escalate Heath were really cool, like the stuff in the car and then when she would look in the mirror and her face would start melting. Those things were genuinely like, oh, he's in her room now. Like he jumped into reality. That was very cool.
And then I thought this was, I mean, very stupid, but in terms of structure, probably one of the better ones because it didn't just repeat over and over. It actually built to a climax.
Yeah.
Of a showdown, which like almost never happens. It's usually like things happen. It's the same thing over and over again. Everybody gaslights the girl. And then at the end, she's almost killed, but she does next to nothing to save herself. Where she like this built and built. She was starting to turn into him. People were getting hurt. And then she figured out a way to save herself and like staged the showdown and won. So in terms of that, definitely one of the better ones. It was just that it was like so stupid.
Yeah, it was so stupid.
Throughout. It was like she was weird.
She was weird.
Before we get anywhere else, before I forget, I just wanted to say another big piece of praise I have for this book is the fact that one of the characters is Rachel/Raquel Martinez.
Yes.
And she is never made to be like so exotic.
Yeah.
It never like, or it doesn't keep like focusing on what she looks like and how different she looks from everyone else. She just has a friend named Raquel Martinez and that's it.
Yeah.
And she's artsy. Mentioned once, never again.
Yeah.
And it I was like,
shouldn't be notable, but since it is one of these books,
it is notable.
It is notable.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, because usually these books are like, it has to make some comment on like, if you're not white, your skin color and how alluring it
is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So good on Sinclair Smith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoever you may be.
I will say on the side of this book being very stupid, particularly our main character being such a fucking dweeb. So there's a part where she's like falling asleep and she's hearing the sound of a motorcycle. It's like only moments pass before Katie was floating inside that brief window of space between waking and dreaming. She hears a motorcycle and she's like, it's a motorcycle. Katie could tell from the roar of the motor. She'd always loved that sound. It said, go ahead, break the rules.
Like, oh, geez. Like, she's such a fucking nerd.
She doesn't enjoy motorcycles. She enjoys the naughty sound of motorcycles.
I love the sound of motorcycles. It's one of my favorite sounds.
They talk so long about how naughty it is that she's buying the super duper jumbo bag of sour cream and onion chips.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is that?
They went on for pages.
It was like the silliest, funniest.
Don't shame me. Don't snack shame me, Raquel.
This is her, like, she's being bad because she's bad now because she's like, more exciting. So she's like kind of joking around the part where she jokes and she like gets a bunch of those chips and sour cream. And then she invites Raquel over and Raquel's like, okay, I'll bring the guy I'm dating. And then she's like, I guess I better get some more chips and dip. And Raquel's like, what the fuck? And she's like, I'm kidding.
We're like, oh my God, we're best friends.
I already have plenty of chips.
And then when she drops the first bowl of chips she makes because she's having a Heath freak out, she's like, oh my God, it's a good thing I bought all those chips.
But I broke my colorful bowl that I bought.
My Mexican bowl.
Her bowl that she never would have bought before Heath.
Because it wasn't brown.
Yeah, because it was just, I mean, it's so bright.
So it doesn't go with anything in this house. Oh, I did. When she's talking about how like oppressive the tone of her family life is, I was like really feeling it until it got to the part where she was like, and all the art was chosen to fit in with the color scheme of the house. And I was like, yeah. No shit, Katie. What the fuck do you want it to look like?
That's fine.
Like, I mean, that's like such a minor, like, so innocuous.
Yeah. Like, I understand the part where she's like criticizing her parents for like, they don't want to hear about problems. Yeah. It should be like, tamp it down. Don't have feelings. Everything's fine. Smile through it. But then when it got to that part, I was like, I'm sorry, Katie. I get that you're resentful, but art should match the room to an extent.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it should like bring the whole room together.
Don't knock their interior design.
You know what? She's on a roll. She's like, she wants to be like mad at her parents. So she's just like, we'll just let her get a little space.
I mean, the parents are at least negligent enough to every single year leave her at home for weeks at a time while they go to this little resort in Florida.
And they know apparently she never remembers that they go there, even though they go there every year.
They're always going to sandals. They're going to like adult orgy. Like, this is where they get let their freak flag fly.
Yeah.
They like don't even tell her they're leaving.
They don't even say bye to her.
She's like, oh, right. They left early, so they wanted to let me sleep. It's like, no, that's not normal.
No. And also, like, why? Like, especially when the parents just like try to find things to be mad at her about when they're like, first you weren't sleeping enough and now you're sleeping too much.
Yeah.
It's like teenagers sleep. I don't know. Like, they like to sleep in. It was very...
Did they expect her to like set an alarm on a Saturday?
That's the weird thing.
I don't get it.
It was also like, she set the alarms and they're like, what? You're hitting snooze on your alarms now.
What?
Shut up.
Yeah. Also, like, people do that. Like...
Not in 1993.
Not in 1993. No.
I don't know if you guys remember it, but I was alive at the time.
I was alive.
It was alive and I was 12.
13, 12. Were you wearing clinging fuchsia sweater dresses?
Are you fucking kidding me? I was wearing t-shirts that looked like they could be dresses. I was so ashamed of my body. I was trying to cover everything up.
Trying to think what I would have been wearing in 1993.
Airbrushed Mickey Mouse for me.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he's got like attitude.
Yes. And he's wearing like a hoodie.
Yes.
I was going to say, there are photos of me at my sixth grade birthday party, which I used to have themed birthday parties as a child.
Awesome.
I chose the theme. The theme of this one was beauty pageant. So I had all of my friends dress up and parade around in like bathing suits and dresses with a talent and had to answer questions at the end. But I made myself MC. I would do this to myself routinely where I like had a fun idea and then I would give myself the shittiest possible part of it. I made myself MC and what I MC'd in was a like faded yet fuchsia giant t-shirt and men's actual boxer shorts in pink plaid with the Tasmanian devil on it. You know, I bought from the WB store.
If you had made me come to your house in a fucking Horton dress Plaza. And you get to get away with wearing that, I would have been so mad.
I was being nice. I had my friends come over, look pretty, and then I asked them questions about current events in boxer shorts like a fucking freak.
Oh my God, what were the 1993 current events that you were asking them about?
It was 93. God, I wish I had a better memory. I do not remember.
The recent inauguration of Bill Clinton.
Probably like, I don't know, homelessness or Desert Storm. Was it right for us to get involved?
Well, that was gracious because you could have, as the birthday girl, made yourself the winner.
Yeah,
and no
that's
one would
true.
Have batted an eye.
Exactly. No, the winner was Melissa Meza, the girl I was also intensely jealous of. I was so
you
giving.
You awarded
I was
her
so
the
giving.
Win?
I am nothing
you
if
wanted
not fair.
Her, no, you wanted her
I am
to.
I nothing if that, not that obsessed was, with fairness.
Wow. Yeah. Also, like, I feel like that's a move that a 12-year-old would make to be like, well, maybe, like, they'll see that I'm so fair and kind and they'll be nice to me.
Mm. Well, I mean, she was in my group of very close friends.
Oh.
I just thought she was very pretty and I wish that like boys were attracted to me. I wish I had her confidence. But I was like, you guys, Melissa had it.
Wow. It was okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I made everybody watch the first Wives Club and eat pie for my 12th birthday. So.
That's better. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure if Melissa won or Marissa.
Mm.
She also deserved
Eminem.
It. Maybe it was a tie.
And
I don't
unprecedented
know, but my
tie.
Friend Denise and I were co-hosts of the
Oh, that's
the
very
show.
Nice.
She was also dressed very casually.
I don't think I don't even know what I did for my 12th birthday. Probably just like pizza and like kids at the house or something. Something very boring.
Sounds great.
I mean, now it sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
I think, I probably invited like, you know what? It might have been mini golfing.
Oh, nice.
A mini golf birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds
I don't remember.
Right.
I don't think I had another big birthday until 16, and then I had a bounce house.
Oh. Yeah. I'm trying to think. 16? Oh, I had a party at my best friend's house because her house was like a mansion and very cool. So I was like,
nice.
She was like, we can use my house. And I was like, yes, we can. Thank you. And also her parents were cool and nice.
Oh,
and
that's
my
great.
Parents were strict and weird. So,
well, I was always scared to do something big enough that if it wasn't just totally awesome, you kind of fell on your face a little bit, like in front of people.
Yeah.
So I kind of always kept it like very low attendance, very low invite list. Because then if it sucked, it was like they were
safe.
The only ones who knew. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I remember being really nervous about people like RSVPing yes to that birthday. Because I'm the same way. I definitely prefer to like not ever do anything really big for anything because I'm afraid that either no one will come or I won't be able to like provide a fun enough time for everybody.
Kind of to this day.
Yeah.
When those RSVPs don't roll in to like a day ahead of time, I'm just like a wreck. It's like, well, how do I know how much food to buy?
Yeah.
What do I do? Is anyone going to come?
Yeah. I panic about my birthdays now, even though I had such confident themed birthdays up through like 26, 27.
I hate my birthday now because I'm like, fuck, to like do something and like, I don't know, no one's going to come. And then I don't plan anything until like the day of, and then I'm like, well, now no one likes me.
This year, because I did the same thing last year, I kept putting it off until it didn't happen. And so this time, after I put it off for like 3 or 4 weeks, finally Mike is like, here's what you're doing for your birthday. You're going to this David Bowie dance night at the Echoplex and you're inviting people. And I was like, bless you.
That's great.
Thank you.
That sounds really fun.
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Good.
Okay. I wanted to touch on, what the fuck's her name again? What's her character's name?
Katie.
Katie.
I was like, Raquel?
Raquel? So this is, this is right when she's like, I'm not going to wear my hair up anymore. So she has like her brown clip that she's going to put in her hair. And then she remembers the words of Heath, which is beautiful hair, beautiful girl. Also, the way he talks her up is like not cute.
It's so fatherly.
It's really weird.
It's crush.
He's like, you're my special girl. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Katie Blue.
Katie Blue. That's what my best friend in college's name was Katie. Her dad called her Katie Blue.
Oh, so it's like a blue thing.
Ugh. That's fucking weird.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, Katie Blue. Oh, no.
That's fucking so weird.
Yeah.
Because he is like her age.
Yeah.
Right?
Because he was like, a high schooler. Other than the fact that he's a ghost.
That's kind of what makes it feel to me like it's the 70s, like you said, is the fact that he keeps saying, are you my special girl?
Yeah.
And Jason asks her to be his in the worst running boss. Just quick, since I'm bringing it up.
Oh, no, I remember
since
this.
I'm bringing it up.
Oh, yeah. No. I dreaded, like, the second he said
what is happening,
what form it would take. Oh, she has it right here.
Yeah. Oh, I just found the photo, too. So, Katie and Jason have just been on their first date. He took her to a nice restaurant because he got a little extra money for his birthday. And he was like, why not?
Yeah, it wasn't pizza or burgers. Yeah. It was a restaurant.
It was a Fuzzy's. The after school hangout.
The after school hangout names in these books are always so fucking embarrassing. Always. Yeah. Always. So he says, I have a poem that I wrote for you. I'm not much of a poet, but I hope that you'll see the thought behind it. Well, here goes. A rose is beautiful. So are diamonds and pearls. Katie Shaw, would you be my girl? And he says, well, what do you think? If I'm not a prize winning poet, it's the thought that counts. And then she had the most diplomatic response.
I know.
Which
she
was,
dissed him.
Oh, I like the thought, Jason. Of course I'll be your girl. Which was the perfect response.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, don't lie to him.
Like,
that
sidestep
was
the quality question and just say, like, oh, you're right. The thought. Thank you.
Thank
that
you.
Was
and
really
I will.
Kind of her.
Yeah, it was. I was like, you handled that really well.
It was such a short poem.
Did you feel like it was so it was so short? And I was so grateful.
Thank goodness, because it was not
so
very good.
So grateful.
But can you, like, isn't that your worst nightmare? Isn't that your worst nightmare to have, like, a person that you're just kind of courting for them to be like, I wrote a poem for you and I'm going to say it to you right now. It's like, oh, please don't do that. Please don't say your poem.
It is brief.
I cannot imagine.
Unlike when they write a song.
No, the song is very bad because then you have to be like, wow.
Yeah. For like 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Has this happened
I
to you
have
guys?
Had men play a guitar to me and sing
Oh my
me.
God.
Mm-hmm. It's not great because you have to sit there and you're like, do I look at you? Do I look at the ground? Do I smile? I don't. What do you do?
I settled on looking at the fretboard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be like, I'm watching how you play the song. You have such good technique.
That's also a very good response.
I'm very impressed. I'm going to look like kind of a little to your right and just kind of look in that direction and like have a generally pleasant expression on my face and just wait for it to be done.
Like you're getting lost in it.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm seeing it.
I was
going to
say, what if, like, do you think it would have worked if I had been like, I just want to close my eyes and feel it.
Ooh.
And then put like a slight smile on my face as I like try to drift off to another time.
Yeah.
Unless they surprised you with it, because then you have to spend the whole time acting very pleasantly surprised. Like, I can't believe this is happening right now.
Wow.
You know, instead of like, I'm about to listen to your song that you just said that you were about to play for me. And I'm going to close my eyes. I'm really going to get in the moment. Depends on how they present it to you, I guess.
Yeah.
Just make a fucking mix CD.
Yeah, and then give it to
weirdos.
Them, and then they can listen to it.
Yeah,
like as you're
I have loved every mix CD I've ever gotten.
Love that. Like I love a here's a gift for you. And then like I don't have to watch you listen to it.
Yeah,
because that's not fun.
And then later I can like luxuriate in the idea that like one of these songs is going to be our wedding song.
Yeah.
I know somebody who. Was being unceremoniously dumped by her high school boyfriend before they went off to college.
Oh, no.
He broke up with her via mix CD.
No.
I'm sorry.
It was all these songs moving on from the current relationship.
No!
And he made them listen to it together in the car.
Wait, so is he just like, in the car?
Do you understand?
That is the most enclosed space I can imagine.
Literally trapped.
Oh my God.
And, fuck, you know, I think that in high school, you just don't know yet that you can say, like, fuck no, I'm not going to do that with you.
Yeah. You're and, just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do feel like you can't say no. I've in so many ways.
In so many ways. You just, well, you think you don't, you can't have desires or interests. So you're just like, okay.
Or it's, for me, the thought was always like, you have to be polite and nice in every situation.
Yes. For me, it was you have
regardless.
To be cool.
That too.
Detach.
Yeah, yeah. You have to be like a cool, like nice girl.
If I was being mistreated, I was trying to be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If I was in a situation I really wanted out of, then I just felt like I had to be nice.
Yeah, you just have to sit there.
And make sure that they don't feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you a line from the song that one of the guys sang to me in college? So it was in college and it was in his dorm room. And he's like, I wrote something for you. Also, he did not really play guitar. So this is what made it much worse. He knew like 3 power chords, played those over and over again. One, so it was, he rhymed completion with
that's not the
fruits
word.
Of my fruition. Fruits? Of my fruition.
What were you, a project of his? What?
I don't know.
The lyric.
It was like it. Yeah, I have no idea. And all I remember was thinking like, and I was so fucking dumb and not sure of myself. I was like, I guess I just don't get it. Like a lot of his stuff that he would like, he was one of those guys that thought that STEM or nothing, you know, like STEM careers or nothing.
Mm.
Science
or nothing.
Yeah, or nothing.
Okay. So, like, I thought you were saying are nothing. I was like, that is crazy.
No. Like if you're smart, you're good at math and science. That kind of
right.
Guy.
But if you're doing anything else, you're not as smart.
Right.
Like, gotcha.
So he was really into that stuff and like
fuck humanities.
Yeah, exactly. And he like I remember one time wrote an essay or something and he was like, hey, can you proofread this for me? And I like looked at it and it literally did like words that when put together do not make a sentence. Like that's how bad it was.
Like fruits of my fruition.
Yes.
Fruits of my fruition.
And then when we broke up, I started dating a writer and he found out and he wrote a book called The Untitled Work.
I'm sorry.
And sent it to me and I still have it somewhere on my Google Drive.
And I think for a mini-sode for the Patreon, you should just read
the untitled work.
There just read it aloud.
It's fucking crazy.
How long is it?
It's like 34 pages.
That's wow. That's too long.
Yeah, and it is unfinished, too. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's called the untitled work. It's unfinished. It also has he didn't even realize that there were heavily, like, what's the word when you want to fuck your mom?
Oedipal?
Yes. Extremely Oedipal, like, tones in it. Had no idea. No idea. And he used thesaurus.com like crazy. So, like, there were parts where he's like, my dad quixotically tried to save my mom. And I'm like, so you mean he's disillusioned with, like, visions of grandeur? Or, like what's happening here?
Oh, I bet that was bad. Adverb city.
Oh, it was very bad. Yes. He asked questioningly. And I was like, wait, I think that word doesn't mean exactly what's happening. It's really bad. And it's totally, I'm going to say it's totally fine because he cheated on me like 4 times. So I do not care about dragging this motherfucker.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, I'll do it for a minisode. I'll find it. I'll dig it up and read it for a minisode.
I think that's good. I think that would make for, I think 100 more people would sign up for our Patreon.
we'll get $1,000, $10 or $8 people, and I can finally drag you into that fucking basement.
Yeah. Unlock it at like the $20 level. People would be like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
At that $20 level, we start to drag boyfriends.
Yes.
That's our boyfriend dragging tier.
It could be your third podcast.
No, don't do that to us.
No.
Why would you?
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break from our show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Quip. I've been using Quip. My teeth are cleaner than ever. My mouth looks great. Everybody can't stop staring at my beautiful teeth. And they are shocked when I tell them that it is an easy subscription service that is helping me because I am brushing my teeth right, for the right amount of time, and I'm changing my brush on time. But did you know that most people don't do that? That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. So, what makes Quip so different? First up, Quip is an electric toothbrush. It's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help keep your teeth clean. Quip has a built-in timer. It helps you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. Next up, they've got subscription plans that are for your health. It's not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. I don't even have to think about it. It comes to me, $5, get my replacement heads. I'm on my good clean mouth schedule. I'm happy. And it's all taken care of for me. I don't even have to think about it. It comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth. I take my Quip everywhere I go. I take my cute little toothbrush that everybody loves and everybody comments on because it's so dang cute with me. And it can travel safely and stick to the mirror wherever I go. And finally, everybody loves Quip. They were on Oprah's O-List, named one of Time's best inventions, and is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Yeah! Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. Get on board. Be on the right side of history. Get yourself a Quip toothbrush to clean your dirty freaking mouth, and make sure you get back on that healthy mouth train made easy by Quip. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/teencreeps right now, that's GETQUIP.com/teencreeps, you get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/teencreeps, spelled GETQUIP.com/teencreeps. Hey, Teen Creams listeners, we're going to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Tomboy X. The things that I love about Tomboy X is that they have underwear that makes me feel like me. I feel comfortable, I feel happy, I feel flexible, I feel like I can be active or I can just sit around on the couch, and I can just be me. And that's the important thing with Tomboy X is that they give you underwear with more function than frills. It's underwear that makes you feel confident and it's made to fit you and how you see yourself. They have a ton of varieties of different kinds of underwear. I personally got a soft sports bra and bikini bottoms and boy short bottoms. Let me tell you, they are some of the most comfortable, freeing underwear that I've ever worn. You have the option to get bikinis, briefs, boxer briefs, trunks, and boy shorts, soft bras, racer back bras, in everyday basic colors, fun seasonal prints, and brilliant colors. I got a little bit of each in my shopping bag, so I can sport my, you know, I'm everyday Kelly, I'm a fun seasonal Kelly, I'm a brilliant color Kelly. And all options come in XS to 4X. So that means wherever you fall on the size or gender spectrum, Tomboy X offers amazing underwear that any body feels comfortable in. So now to get to the good stuff, you got to go to tomboyx.com/teencreeps, check out their special bundles and pack pricing. And Teen Creeps listeners, you guys get an extra 15% off with code TEENCREEPS. Again, that is code TEENCREEPS, all one word, for an extra 15% off. Ditch whatever you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X underwear. Go to tomboyx.com/teencreeps. And now, back to the show.
Okay, so this is right when she's about to, when he's like, beautiful hair, beautiful girl. And she's like, oh, I remember how he was like looking at me. He touched my hair. So she's like, this is her talking to herself. I've never worn my hair loose before, except
that's fucking crazy.
Why not? She knew the answer to that one. I'm afraid I'd feel silly. It's not like I'm the femme fatale type. But then what type am I? The quiet, serious type? Not today, Katie said aloud. Feeling almost daring, she put down the hair clip and shook out her pale gold hair. Then she scrunched it, quotes, with her fingers to make the curl stand out.
Oh, Katie.
Her internal monologue is bonkers.
Yes.
When she's talking about herself and trying to motivate herself to do anything.
Yes, yes.
Insufferable. I wish she would discover post-it notes and inspirational quotes already and just put it on your fucking mirror and quit talking to yourself.
The way that they describe Raquel's clothes, I just have to point it out. Because it's, again, it's like almost a detail, but then like isn't. It says, she was wearing dangling earrings, a short skirt with an oversized bright red top and a wide belt, and the most unusual shoes Katie had ever seen.
What were the shoes?
There was no elaboration about the shoes whatsoever.
I was very curious about the shoes.
I mean, even what do those earrings look like? They're just dangling?
Just dangling.
It's an unfinished
but
work.
But why tease us? Nice. Why tease us with that they're the most unusual shoes?
The most unusual.
I
want
to know what those
what
look
are
like.
Are they?
Like, I don't know if he had, if whoever Sinclair Smith is, I just don't know if they had the vocabulary to talk about shoes.
They were Heelys.
Yeah. Although I do think that Sinclair Smith is probably a woman.
I think so, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it writes as like 1970s lady for me. Yeah. Like it seems like a...
I think there are too many descriptions of how the boys make her feel for it to be a man. Because the man never writes about how liking someone makes them feel. It's just always like, he was so cute.
Yeah, he was really
cute. The extent of it.
And then also I think there would be more girls fighting over guys in this book if it was a male
writer. Raquel would be crushing on Jason and kind of jealous and a little snarky about it.
Yeah.
But ultimately wouldn't do anything. And I was very relieved when it turned out Raquel had a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. However, his name was Max with two X's and he had a band, Wax with two X's.
I was disgusted by the name of that band.
I was like, what?
That's disgusting. Wax?
There's no fucking way his band members want it to be called that.
Is it just me or was he a one man band? I think it's just, like,
but he was the drummer.
Oh, wait, he's the drummer.
You don't name the band after the drummer. There's like one band like that. What is
Fleetwood
it?
Fleetwood Mac.
Thank you.
And his name is not even. It's Mc. Wait, what is it? McFleetwood or
McFly.
Something? No, it's like what is his name? It's like not even Fleetwood Mac. Like it's not even. It's like Mick. I'm getting a confirmation nod from Brett.
What's his name? Brett.
McFleetwood. Thank you. Okay. Thunder only happens when it's raining. Love Fleetwood Mac.
I love Wax with two X's.
Wax with two X's is
and all caps.
So
and
disgusting. All caps. That's so fucking
Don't
disgusting.
Don't forget all caps.
That is so gross. I hate that.
It's weird.
It's weird to put it in there and then... Again, he's never revisited. I would like read 50 more pages of this book if they all like went to a Wax concert together. That'd be amazing.
And I'm sorry, but why couldn't he just come?
Yeah, that was pretty weird, right? Why even mention him?
Unable to come?
He had to do what? Like music stuff, right?
I think it was just like, oh, I want you to know, I don't feel like writing this character, but I do want you to know that Raquel is not after Jason and that they are in fact friends.
I wish that, here's something I wish, that we got a little bit more of like Raquel. I wish that Raquel and Katie. Yeah, Raquel and Katie and like them together maybe coming up with a plan or something.
Also, it seems like she did know at the end the diary entry at the end. Because like, she's like, Raquel and I never talk about Heath. I think we just don't want to go there. And I'm like, go. Wait,
oh, because she did mention it.
Please go there.
They mentioned like, it once.
Why would she be afraid to talk about it with you?
Because it was like so scary. I don't know, but Raquel experienced none of it. So
she experienced the kitty dying. He killed a kitty.
That's
he shook
right.
the kitty.
That,
to
okay,
death.
Animal death. Not thrilled with that.
I was so scared.
Oh, the basset hound?
Yes. I
Me
was
too.
Sure that dog was going to die. And there was a fake out, but I accepted it.
Because it meant the dog wouldn't die.
Yes. What was his name?
Bopper.
Bopper.
Great
which
name.
Is a very cute name.
Great name.
Very good name. But it the end of the chapter really did sound like Bopper
I
had
like,
kicked the bucket.
I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it was like, it was almost an R.L. Stein-esque fake out. Because it was like, Bopper fucking died on the ground. And then it was like, hey, I'm glad your dog's okay. Next page, next day.
The Raquel fake out in the kitchen might be the most offensive fake out I have personally ever read.
Okay, wait, what was it? Can you remind me?
It was when she comes over to watch Psycho and two other films.
Oh,
it's
exactly.
With her and Jason.
She drops all the chips.
Yeah, she drops all the chips, but it's like she was, there was a face floating in the window, mouthlessly making like words Mm-hmm. And then it was like, you know, it was this floating face. There was no body. Oh, wait, there was a body. It was rapping on the glass. It was Raquel.
Yeah.
Yeah. That pissed me off a little. Oh,
everything I just said, not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. That did piss me off.
Yeah. Well, and then just that she had the cool part that kind of saved it is that she's like, I was knocking at the door forever and you just looked like you were sleeping.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, that was all the coolest part.
That was cool. She was hallucinating again.
Totally like falling asleep, standing up. That was very Paranormal Activity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there is a lot of two of her like, or not a lot of, I'm sorry. But that one part that I really liked was when she like wakes up and she's in the garage and she's like, oh my God, why am I in here?
Yeah, it's
and
it never happened before that I've woken up in a different place.
And she's like, oh, I was dreaming. Oh my God, he's taking over.
And we never do find out. Like you never as the reader get that explanation of where she is during all these little lapses. Like,
no, it's
we're
very
in
weird.
The dark too.
I was so surprised that his end game was to take over Katie's body and be Katie.
Yeah.
Well, was he like, was gonna put her, he yes and no, because he was going to make her be in a coma and then sap all the energy out of her and like be somehow.
Was he gonna...
And then anytime then they were going to kill her, he was going to like have her wake up for like a second and then they'd get hope again. And then he'd put her back under into coma.
You're right. So then what was, I guess he was just going to play around with controlling her body because he was talking about like, let's go over to Jason and see how you can really let loose. I was like, are you going to fuck Jason?
Yeah. When she comes over to Jason.
Are you going
to
fuck Jason?
There were a couple times I was like, are you going to fuck Jason? Because there's another time when she's like leaving him when he's like sleeping because he's gotten hurt from the car accident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which he created. Like he put him to sleep while he was at the wheel.
That's nuts.
Very scary. So she's visiting him.
Poor Raquel. Of course she thought it was her fault.
I know.
Katie specifically asked Raquel to drive him home.
I know.
She was afraid he was going to fall asleep at the wheel. And Raquel's a good friend.
It's not she's her a good fault, friend. Though. She's like so upset. And I loved that Katie never is like, yeah, it's your fault. Like she's like, no, what? It's no one's fault. It's fucking Heath.
Yeah.
So then she's like about to like say goodbye to Jason. She's like, goodbye. And then she's like, hey, why don't we go out and have like a fucking blast out? Let's get some brewskis and hit up some ladies. I was like, whoa, wait, hold up. Are y'all gonna fuck? Like, what's going on here?
And Heath uses her as a ventriloquist dummy in some weird ways, almost like cartoonishly. Remember when he's in the cafeteria? He's like, what do I have to do to get the mustard around here?
Yes.
I was like, that one's not mean. It's just bizarre.
It was weird.
And then Raquel's like, wow, you can do voices. Fun. Do another. And
she's like, do I have to suck to get God some fucking Raquel. Mustard?
Raquel is the most patient friend.
She's the best.
Raquel is a very good friend.
It's just, you know, she's got her own thing going on. She's like artsy. She's got her in unusual shoes.
She's got Maxix.
Oh, yeah. Maxix. She's got to go to Waxix shows.
Yeah. Mm.
She's got a rich life.
She does.
Yeah.
So
good for her.
I would love to see a book of her where she's like, something weird's going on with my friend Kennedy.
But I'll pretend otherwise for her sake.
Yeah. I think she's really sick, but I'm just gonna stick by her and I'm here if she needs me.
She's like, yo, she was sleeping while standing up. Like something's wrong, but it's not my place to pry.
She's doing voices. I'm pretty sure she's possessed, but I'm gonna let her come to it in her own time.
She's new. Maybe this was just a thing at her old school.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe this is something people did at the other school.
I'm gonna invite her to my 3 p.m. Friday afternoon party.
Okay, that was very interesting. That was very interesting. Where she's like, come to my house for a party. And then she's like, you can come over straight after school. I was like, oh, they're gonna like hang out and like decompress before the party. But no, that's when the party starts. Very weird.
That reminds me that Katie is almost a liar to the reader about how much of a drip she is. I mean, she's a drip, but how unpopular she is and shy and quiet in school. Because the second she gets to that school, Raquel wants to be friends with her, invites her to a party.
Yeah.
Jason is talking her up and she's like, I can't. And then she's like, no, Katie, get in it. And then later when she's like been seeing Jason, she's like, wow, it was never like this with the other boys I dated. And I was like, bitch, you went on dates before this? What are you fucking talking
That's
about?
That's a good track
it's like
record.
We're boring. Yeah. I was like, I was boring. I never went anywhere.
Yeah.
That's somebody who's boring.
That was so weird too.
How dare
you? She was like, because we don't ever really see her be shy. Like, we see her be a drip.
We never see her unpopular.
Yeah.
And then, oh, yeah, It is a new school, right?
Yeah, it's a new school.
Yeah, but so you'd never know.
So then what's up with Ready Freddy being like, wow, I never noticed you before this. And I'm like, it's been like 5 days.
Well, Ready and all Freddy. The teachers do that too. Like, I know. Your performance has been slipping lately. It's like, she's been here a fucking week.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, so since like about? Monday, like, yeah.
I guess it's like, we've been studying your file from the other school. That's the most leeway I can allow here.
Right.
Because it makes no sense.
And here's another one. All the cashiers at all the stores
they know her.
Who she is.
That's so weird.
And then she and Raquel are like best friends, and she gives us hints of things they have done together that we do not see.
Yeah, the mall.
It's very confusing how much time has passed. And then
maybe that's intentional. So he spends some time with you.
Having a real good time in that bod. So it make, and also, what is up with every teacher, parent, or guidance counselor in these types of books immediately assuming that you're on drugs?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, your grades are slipping, you're on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, A+ student who is tired must be on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been wearing slightly form-fitting clothing, Katie. Are you on LSD?
That was crazy. It's a sweater dress.
Yeah.
A sweater dress. And honestly, those don't look good on a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like,
no.
Most people she look must be bad.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. She must be fine. Because everyone's like, damn, look at that. I was going to say sausage casing. That's what everyone looks like in them.
Yeah. It's like, I was horrible. Wearing, what are they called? Are they maxi dresses or something? Mm-hmm. I was wearing one of those for a show I did last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't prefer to wear these dresses mm-hmm. for this exact reason, because like I'm pretty straight. I don't have a lot of curves, but I have enough curves that those dresses look fucking terrible, because it's just hugging my middle and hips and butt. And then and then I don't have too much going on upstairs.
I think
it's like,
yeah, I have the
it's,
same.
It's an optical illusion for the wearer. I feel the same way. You see where it bulges.
Yeah.
But because you're above your body.
Yeah.
Everybody else doesn't see it because they're like looking at you head on.
I don't know, man. I've seen photos. Photos of this dress. I've played this character multiple times. Judy Garland.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
I have a couple maxi dresses, and like, I wear them because it's a specific look that I'm going for, which is the same look that I'm going for when I'm wearing like athleisure outside, which is I pretend that I'm like famous. But I'm like, don't talk to me, I'm famous. I'm like wearing like a baseball cap and like sunglasses and like a big fucking like Olsen twin like burlap sack. I'm like, oh, I'm swimming in this fucking thing. I look insane. No one's gonna fucking talk to me, but they're gonna think I'm famous because I'm in LA. It would never work in any other city. Mm-hmm. LA or New York, I think. In New York, you're like maybe a fashion icon.
Mm-hmm.
You're like famous and don't talk to me.
I will say that somehow Kelly manages to pull off some very ridiculous outfits, which we were talking about before. Yeah. Like at our live show, you were wearing that that small pyrokinesis shirt.
Yes.
You were wearing a large billowy skirt that looks like it was made by a prairie woman.
It was
in 1894.
It was a skirt that I bought specifically for an Audrey Horne outfit for my Twin Peaks Halloween costume, which is a pleated,
yeah, it's pleated
below the knee,
yes,
like mid calf, plaid, like it looks like a kilt type thing,
yeah,
I love billowy, it. long,
yeah. And then, what shoes were you wearing? Were they just normal
shoes? Pink, like slip on, little like fabric shoes from China.
So like Toms-esque.
Yeah, but okay. Not Toms.
Mm-hmm. And like, if I put those things together, I would feel like I looked insane. But when Kelly showed up, I was like,
man.
Wow, Kelly is so confident. She looks good in like whatever she puts on.
Thing, it's about confidence and or...
I was like, I would not care.
Yeah.
I was like, looking I would never bored. Think to put those yeah. things together.
I put them on and I was like, probably okay. What? I don't know. It's just about confidence, man. Or... Mm-hmm. Lack of caring.
Sometimes it spurs confidence because you're like, the only way I can walk out of the house with these cacophonous pieces
yes.
is if I just own it.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and you will still get people that will insult you.
For like, real?
Oh, my mother.
Oh, okay, sure. People. I thought you meant like strangers.
Oh, strangers.
I was like, fuck them.
No.
I mean, not that your mom should be doing that, but like if a stranger does it, that's fucking weird if they take time out of their day to be like, yeah, your skirt's weird.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's like my mom or that terrible bully cousin that I have has come up to me in public. And
Vera Light?
She might have killed somebody. We have no idea.
We don't know.
I don't think she's like exciting enough to have done that though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, like
the emotional abuse is there. But
the emotional abuse is for sure there. If she were brave enough. She's just not. How fucking sad is that? If you're like almost a Vera, but you're just not brave enough to be one.
Dang. Just run of the mill unpleasant.
Yeah. I pray for you. And I don't believe in God.
Leave off with good old Katie?
I have something. Okay. This is when she's starting to be like, Heath is not nice. And she's talking to herself about it. It's very embarrassing. If either of you said these words to me, I would be like, I can't talk to you anymore. Suddenly, it struck her that Heath played three characters.
Ah, yes.
Mr. Wonderful, incorporating Mr. Mysterious and Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. McNasty, and the poor little boy. Why did it take me so long to see through his routine? First, I get bullied by Mr. McNasty. Then I'm supposed to feel sorry for the poor little boy and let him have his own way. And if I'm lucky, Mr. Wonderful, definitely the best of the three, will come out and play. You don't need to put Mr. in there.
Well, it seems like that was trying to be instructional.
Yes.
Of like, here's what abusive relationships look like.
Yes.
It was perfect.
It was.
So it totally works.
But then like naming them like that almost seemed to take away from the gravity of what they were like trying to help girls realize about these guys.
Yeah. It's like a super accurate portrayal of the shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much the tone you want to have when thinking about it.
Exactly.
Especially the McNasty one.
And
it's like, that's the abusive one.
Yeah.
Like the genuinely dangerous one.
Yeah, that's the one that like, if this was real life, probably would be hitting you about now.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's so weird that she's just thinking this to herself and giving him those names in her head too, because then it makes her seem like a dolt, like a little idiot that like is putting things in too cutesy and too kiddish of terms.
Yeah.
It's like, no, she's a 17-year-old girl. So she could be like, there's one side to him that like really scares me, but there's a side to him that seems like a little boy. And then there's this side to him that's so alluring and it calls to me. That still works. You don't have to give them.
I understand putting it in terms of it's almost like three different people.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do that exactly. I just know this isn't it.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to do like Little Miss Busy names for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the books.
Yeah. Like that's like so weird. You don't have to do that.
Like McDreamy.
Yeah.
On
Sex and the City.
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. Sorry. Wrong
that's
thing.
That's Mr. Big.
Wrong thing that everyone loves that I don't
I've
watch.
I've never seen. Yeah. Well, I've seen all of Sex and the City. I've never watched Grey's Anatomy. I think I've seen two episodes maybe.
I've seen it
on at friends' houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was my mom and sister watching it.
Mm. Yeah. But so, okay, can we go over what the plan is? Because I kind of got it, but kind of didn't.
Yeah, it's so, God, that's perfect because I was like, oh, what else did I highlight? And it's this fucking page. So we get introduced to the thing that she eventually uses to defeat him. It's a medallion.
Oh, God.
So she's like mocking him. And then he's getting really angry. She's brought up the fact that now she knows he died and is just like this weird ghost thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he recovered himself and a conniving smile spread itself across his features. It doesn't matter that you know anyway, because you see, this is what I'm all about. Heath picked up a medallion that hung around his neck. Katie hadn't noticed it before.
Why?
And it always hung down inside his shirt. On the face of the medal was a growling animal that looked like a cross between a leopard and a panther. And then this is the part that really got me.
I'm sorry.
You see this? It's just like me, the jungle cat. I'm too slick and too fast and too smooth for you because I've got the wits of the jungle cat and you can't match them.
All right.
Like, shut. You are the least frightening thing to me now.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Also, okay. He mentions the jungle cat as if it is a species. It is not. And also for her to be like, it looks like a mix between a leopard and a jaguar. Those are so similar.
They're similar.
It's a cat. It's a cat.
See, like, in that case, she could have said, it looks like a jungle cat. And then he could have chosen.
Yeah, which one? Leopard and a panther.
Those. Yeah. So if he says, I'm like a jaguar, great.
Yeah.
She said, it looked like some kind of jungle cat. Great. But when you do the reverse, it doesn't make any sense.
It looks, it's so dumb.
And this was just padding for the big finale anyway, because right after he says that, she literally says, if you had, well, she's thinking it. Mm-hmm. If you had brains, you'd be dangerous. That's my problem, though. You do have brains and you are dangerous.
Wait, then say, like, this is a word count situation. Yeah. She's like, I remember that part. If you had brains, you'd be dangerous. But that's the problem. You have brains and you're dangerous.
She would do that sort of flip a lot. And I really just think it was like to pad word count.
Yeah.
Before the big reveal at the end of like her plan and everything.
It makes no sense.
I'm looking at it. It's so terrible.
Just like characters that never show up again and like little details. It's just funny how the parts that could have been padded were the stuff of the actual dreams and Heath himself.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like, look at this big bag of chips.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This bag of chips is so big. What am I doing? I'm crazy. I'm going to eat them all.
They're cream and onion.
So crazy.
And then that's all she gets, that and soda.
The fact that she had it out a little and all she fed them was fucking sour cream and onion chips.
So high school.
Yeah, and soda. I was like, you know, dip? Get something, like something hefty.
Get a fucking veggie plate.
Sure.
You fucking monster.
No, like something else, like the...
This is not a way to entertain. You
order a pizza.
Make your friends some fucking nachos. I ate nachos with my friend Jill at
nachos
her house every fucking day. And we would watch some syndicated Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nachos or like, honestly, throw a fucking DiGiorno in the oven. Do something like
that's the food-ish. Thing, though. Like this was her big plan. She talks 3 times during that scene about her checklist.
Yeah,
like, put out chips.
Oh yeah,
drink soda, change clothes. Like, oh, my checklist is done.
Have movies.
Like, this was the big plan.
Do I have everything? I think I have everything. I mean, I'm not even saying fancy nachos. I really feel like nachos was the way to go now that I've thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You get some tortilla chips.
Yeah.
In a bag. You don't have to make the tortilla chips. That's not how it works.
No.
You get some refried beans from a can.
Easy peasy.
You get some just like fucking strips of cheese.
Yeah, the shredded kind.
Shredded.
Or the queso kind.
You get shredded.
You can get shredded or you can get the poor kind.
Yeah, you get some olives.
Yeah,
I mean, these are some white-ass nachos, sure, but that's my upbringing.
Well, she has to conserve the groceries in the house because she's being left alone for literal weeks. And she has to keep the food stretched thin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're being a little hard on Katie then. I realize now that
it's true.
This was not fair of us.
This book is not Bitches Be Cooking.
Because
she does not cook. She does not.
It's one of the few bitches be cooking. Bitches not be cooking.
Yeah, bitches not be cooking. Because she does not cook.
Yeah.
She doesn't even feed Bopper.
Like, holy shit, she doesn't feed Bopper.
Oh my God, we never hear about it.
Probably is
if
dead.
If we don't hear about food happening, it doesn't happen.
Same thing as going to the bathroom.
That's how these books work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, she kept throwing away her food because she was sleeping through meals, and then she picked up toast and threw it in a ditch.
I thought something was going to happen. She threw it into a ditch. I thought something was going to come back with that fucking toast. Because remember, too, in her dream, she was like trying to go to that ditch, and he's like, don't go over there. And she's like, I'm going to go. And she goes and wakes up, and she's like, that's weird. Then she throws the toast. I was like, oh my God, there's going to be dream toast. The toast is going to be in her dream from the ditch. But
no.
We just never see the toast again.
That'd be great. The other big thing is the coffee she makes for herself, and she puts it in a thermos. And she's all of a sudden it's like that episode of Saved by the Bell where it's
caffeine
pills. Where Jesse is taking caffeine pills.
Yeah,
and like that's supposed to be like what the coffee is, where she's just like, oh, gotta stay awake, and then she drops the thermos and Raquel's like, there's glass everywhere. And I was like, what the fuck thermos?
Yeah, what was this crazy thermos?
It's made of glass. No, stainless steel and a plastic and then like seal it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or even, okay, this is 93. So all plastic.
Yeah.
So you have this fucking
plastic. It's not even stainless steel.
Could be like would a caboodle. Yeah, a caboodle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, caboodle mug. Yeah.
Put it in your caboodle makeup bag.
Also, okay.
You lift it up. There's a mirror inside. There's a tray on top. And there's a larger thing in the bottom. It's like a big trunk. You just throw some coffee
she
in
was
it.
So mad. I was laughing out loud when she's like, haven't any of you ever dropped anything before?
That I know. Was very funny.
When she's ornery, she gets so ornery. Also, she
gets so mad at the bus driver for saying, like, she was spacing out. Oh, probably yeah. Probably had fallen asleep.
Yeah.
And he goes, what are you, taking a little snooze? And she's like, shut up!
She's like, I never slept in my fucking
How
life.
Fucking dare you.
I never slept in my life.
What? A person can't blink? I can't even believe this. I wish I had driven to school today. And then in 2 seconds, she's like, that was a little rude. And she apologized.
She's like, ooh, boy.
I was like, okay. Because I was like, I'm done with
she's
you,
She's like,
Katie.
That coffee had me being a real cunt. Yeah. Also, she hides the fact that she made coffee because her parents are going to get mad at her. Because they're like, what, you're making coffee like, now?
Bitch, they're packing for Florida anyway.
They don't care.
No.
They don't care. They're not going to say goodbye to you.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't matter.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it.
She's just as mean as one of those ugly twins these days. Yes.
Those ugly, ugly twins.
Brett, I have to know, did you just get up and get coffee?
I know it. Oh, he was like, that reminds me. He's like, I'm going to turn into a real, Heath is going to be mad if I don't have any coffee.
Brett can't stay awake over
Brett
there.
Has been battling the same Brett. Heath situation. Every time he goes to sleep, he gets up, he walks around, he goes
to He's in a lace
whole,
nightgown.
Yeah, he gets up in his lace and he's walking all
lace
around.
Sundress.
Oh, my
sundress.
God.
Meeting Heath.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Amy's like, what you doing?
Brett.
What's going on here?
If you are in an abusive dream relationship.
With Heath.
Nod.
He's nodding okay. so quietly. Okay. Guess what? Heath fucking saw that and heard that because he's in your brain and he can feel
Guess what? This is the dream.
This
and
is the
we're
dream.
All Heath.
We're all Heath.
McNasty.
Oh, Mr. McNasty. Someone told me that there was this McDonald's and one of the rumors was in high school that if you ordered a McNasty, you could get oral sex in the bathroom.
I'm that pretty sure that is every neighborhood McDonald's legend.
So I'm fairly
fucking
sure.
Fucking dumbest urban legend so, I have ever
I'm
heard.
I'm just saying not like
ever.
That like
dumbest
really
ever.
Resonated with me.
If you go like somebody's like, okay, I just have to punch it in the register first.
What
Here's
does it
your
cost?
Receipt. Let's go back.
Also, McNasty is so obvious.
From either gender.
I think it was guys. If you were a guy and you ordered McNasty, you could get a blowjob.
That's fucking sexist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, maybe if it's all genders.
And listen, everybody
and
wants
really
to get their
hopeful,
badge eaten in a McDonald's bathroom.
That was a possibility. I was also, I bet that this is a very like progressive mm-hmm. urban legend mm-hmm. and that gender wasn't binary. But mm-hmm. of course.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
of
the
course.
Maybe the new one is that the kids say you have to order an apple pie.
Oh, nice.
Get the other pie. Version.
Oh, but then
or cherry
you have
pie.
To ask for a fried apple pie because they don't sell those anymore. Oh, so can I get an apple pie, but can I get that fried? Because I like
nice.
My oral sex bad for me.
I like it greasy.
I like it real greasy.
Well, we've stumbled into another disgusting
conversation.
Sex and food conversation. I'm so
See,
proud of us.
I mean, where does one end and one begin, really?
Marty, you have so many glorious notes in your book.
Yeah.
Oh my God, thank you
are,
so much.
Are there
much.
Any that you would like to particularly share?
That you feel, flags. Oh, we must... Cover.
Oh my God. I was just, I'm I loved so marking all the clothes.
Oh, great clothes.
Lots of good maroon and black happening together.
Yes.
Which was a very good mm-hmm. 93 combo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also some jewel tones if you want to hit up some
yes.
like maroon, some teal.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes.
Yeah, just little notes like this book is 98% italics.
So yes. many, because she's thinking to herself all the time and thinking about Heath.
And then also yeah. she's having to emphasize words within the italicized yeah. thoughts, but mm-hmm. so then they're not italicized.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, and she doesn't have anyone to talk to, so they just have to relegate it all to internal monologue because she yeah. refuses to tell anybody what she's struggling
Even though
with.
He continually says, like, don't tell anyone about me. Don't put any proof of me in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems to me like that is the exact thing you should do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff where he was like, I can't have... Like, it was hurting him.
Yeah, it seemed like almost like it was going to be his horcrux.
Oh, can we
talk? Like, just
yeah.
keep talking and bits of his soul will be out in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about his poem for her?
Oh, yeah. It's so half-assed he hates her.
He's so stupid.
And yet, at the same time, better than Jason's.
Oh, better than God. Jason's. I don't have it up. It
was I know some, what it is. It's
okay,
I love you, Katie Blue.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I love you, Katie Blue.
All caps. All caps. I love you, Katie Blue.
And she's like, haha, now my plan is in action.
Except that didn't make sense. What did she think she was going to prove by having it in the real world? You know what's happening. You've accepted that you're in danger.
Maybe she could tell her friends.
The recording plan was great.
Yeah.
Because like his voice did come through the recorder in her dream. I don't even care how that happened. But the fact that it did was, yeah, like awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the note, especially with a note that short, it's like she could just have written it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
It's not he like wrote there's it. A handwriting thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like anyone would be like, oh, yeah, that's oh, his yeah,
that
handwriting.
That kid mm-hmm. did, in fact, write this.
Wait, so what was the plan? Because we never really got around. How is she going to get kill him?
So what happens in the end is, did you highlight any of this?
Just that it seems like in the dream, you have to replicate the way that the real person died in real life.
Oh.
Right? Because that's the road where he had the motorcycle. I read it twice and it's still honestly a little fuzzy.
So it was like he wasn't, for some reason, it occurs to her that maybe there is some kind of power in the medallion, which makes no sense. That
wasn't like why the medallion? We don't know.
I do kind of, maybe it's just, so he refuses to cross the street mm-hmm. because that's where he died or go into the street. But he wants that medallion. He feels like it's really important to him. So she makes him chase after her mm-hmm. or she just wants to get it to the other side of the street where he can't get it. And then it's like he won't have any power anymore. And it's like so close to almost, it's almost smart and makes sense. But isn't quite and doesn't quite.
So she has to replicate the way he dies, right? And where he died. So she tries to lure him in the street, but she like runs so fast. He has to get his motorcycle.
She runs. Well, maybe the medallion was just a way to go through the ruse of going into the house. She's like, I want to see how I look in this medallion in the mirror. And then she sneaks out the back.
Mm-hmm.
So she has enough time to get that much farther away. But on a motorcycle, I do feel like he would just caught her.
Yeah. Instantly.
Instantly.
Mayhap.
Oh, and then she's in like neck high grass.
Yeah, which is such a dream thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says Katie headed for the open field behind the house. Beyond it was the main road. It was the road where Heath had had his motorcycle accident years ago. It was the road he couldn't cross. It's not really an explanation.
No, I guess we just have to trust a lot of dream logic.
Yeah.
On this one. But then the medallion does come with her back to the waking world.
Yeah, she puts it in a little
box.
Maybe
that's what it is. It was like the closest thing to him, the thing that he like identified with mm-hmm. the most.
Mm-hmm.
So if that could be her proof that she brings into the real world, maybe that's one.
Maybe.
But then she doesn't actually show it to anyone. So,
she never looks
if a tree falls in the forest, like she has this box of a medallion and won't open it.
But she feels no need to actually show the fruit to anyone.
Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
And she could have.
Yeah. Schrodinger's jungle cat.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It really is because she doesn't want to open it in case there's nothing in there. Where she could have shown it to Raquel.
Yeah.
And been like, I have his blood. He was haunting me. She's like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And she tells her the story. For some reason, Raquel believes her. And that's what, like, it totally draws his power away. And that's why at the end, they're like, we don't talk about it much anymore because we don't want to.
Also, especially for being a story that is kind of instructional about, like, abusive relationships, it would have been helpful for Raquel to be someone that was more involved and with her because it's like your community, your friends, your family, that's who's going to help
support.
You through this.
Yeah.
And like that support network. It's important to not let someone isolate you from people.
Yeah.
It would have just been cool to see her play off of her best friend in that way too. Like just give Katie someone to bounce off of.
Yeah. And then we would have had more than just drip, drip Katie.
And then when she says the McNasty thing, she can be like, that's dumb.
Scolding herself for brewing the coffee too strong again.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of my notes are just fun little mistakes that I found because I am a copy editor. I love finding yes. mistakes.
Oh, share some of them.
The funniest, well, Freddie's name changes spellings a whole lot.
Really?
Yeah.
For real?
Like Y and IE?
Like on the same page, yeah.
What?
What?
Which, you know, okay, that's fine. But time.
That's unacceptable.
That's a pretty big
same page.
It's kind of funny. But the less forgivable one is that they refer to Katie going to work instead of school.
What? Oh my God.
Yeah. Says, it was daylight now, and Katie knew there was no way she'd be able to drive to work in her present condition.
She doesn't go to work.
She's on her way to school.
She has no job. I wonder if that's in mine, because we do have slightly different versions.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if yours is like a really rare.
But I don't know where to look.
The back of the book was a little different.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Your the description that you read was a little more rock and roll than this one.
Ooh.
This one's a little more flowery.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Read it.
Shy, pretty Katie is dying to meet the perfect boy and fall in love. Then one night when she's asleep, Heath Granger walks into her dreams. He's handsome, charming, and exciting. And if he's a little bit possessive, so what? He's only a dream.
Oh.
But soon, Katie is sleeping more and more, and Heath is becoming stronger and meaner. He doesn't just want to be part of Katie's dreams. He wants to visit her when she's awake, too. Katie's dream date is taking over her life and turning it into a living nightmare.
Oh, shit.
I think yours was better.
Wait, can you think? What edition
is
the...
I mean, it is ever so slightly an exaggeration about the boy thing. Because really, she's just dreaming about being outgoing and different.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I mean, I'm sure, like, the boyfriend is part of it.
More like they were going on dates in the dream, which would have been kind of cool if, like, she really got into him.
Yeah, I thought they were carrying out a whole relationship. Instead, he was just, like, being weird.
Oh, I guess it's still third. But then, hold on.
Also not exciting.
So that's a first printing.
Yours?
Mine? Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
This is, it doesn't say first Scholastic printing. Just a Scholastic.
If you look this book up on Google.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it does. I somehow hit the page. It does say she'd be able to drive to work in her present condition.
Maybe there was a draft crazy. Where she had an after school job, which would add another element to it.
That's when the bus comes.
Oh.
Wait, so she takes the bus to work?
She takes it to school. And then what are they? The Tipper twins? Tippin
the
twins?
Ucko twins?
Tippler twins?
They're so hard to look at.
And then, like, nothing really happens with them. She just, like, scowls at them. She's like, I'm awake.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
She's just mean to everybody.
Yeah. If you look this up on Google Books,
mm-hmm.
very, you know, that big box with the big title on Google, it just says Dreen date.
Dreen. Yes.
Just a big
title. It does. It says Dreen date.
Oh, I think we saw that when we were Googling what books we wanted to do.
Dreen date.
And it was confusing.
A lot slipped through the cracks with Sinclair Smith.
Poor Sinclair Smith. So we do see that in the beginning of your book, was it yours? It says Sinclair Smith asserts his right to be named as Sinclair Smith in this whatever.
Wait, what?
Yeah, look on the...
On the back?
Identified as the author.
One of the first couple pages. Next.
Oh, so there must have been an act in 1988 where you got to retain the rights of your pen name.
Yeah, I think maybe it was like pursuant to 1988 something. Maybe it was your book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Marnie's.
Copyright Designs and Patents Act of 1988.
Sinclair Smith.
So you really get to just like hide behind that, which is kind of a cool right.
That is kind of cool. Because, you know, I mean, that would be paparazzi would be all over Sinclair Smith.
And then just like other fun little lack of specificity throughout. It's like, you know, she talks about a song on the radio.
Yeah.
Those unusual shoes. I just loved it because the author was clearly very excited to tell the story as they imagined it.
Yeah.
Without having to like kind of rushing past the world building aspects of it in a really funny way. So
I didn't understand why instead of going to the thing, we only ever saw Katie remembering the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was so that like Heath could feel the energy of her memories. But it read very strangely. So like even if there was intent behind it, it made for such a weird read to only be knowing in the past what happened.
It put her even more in her own head because you didn't get to see her out in the world at that party.
Puts us even more in her head, which where I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I don't want to be there the whole time.
I know. Well, mm-hmm. I would say, though, still, it was like it's such a quick read that you don't really lose anything by reading it.
Yeah.
So you might as well read it.
Yeah, give it a read.
That's some pretty glowing praise.
Yeah. Have there been other books that you guys have read that kind of deal with that, like, you know, like a boyfriend might not be the best guy, might be abusive. It seems instructional.
You know what's weird? Yeah, it did seem kind of didactic. It's
not as much.
We haven't seen that.
Not as much of a like full lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the real problem is that in a huge like shared shitty thing that like trope is for there to be a love interest red herring where they are so shitty that by the end they are unforgivable.
Sure.
And yet they still end up with
them. But they're not the killer.
So it is the opposite.
So all is forgiven.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Like, so then it's right. Like, give them a chance. Straight up. Like kind of like emotionally abusive, rapey, weird, like just bad, no boundaries.
So if anything, it does the opposite. It's sort of like, yeah, but I mean, he's like not a murderer.
Yeah.
And it that's like does. The big like, oh, well, I guess he wasn't doing it. So it's okay that he was like such a fucking dick to me and talks down to me and makes me feel stupid and generally manipulates my emotions.
Yeah. Jason would never do any of that. Jason's a doll.
Jason's like one of the perfect. Best guys we've ever read about.
Yeah.
And she like calls it out exactly too. She's like, wow, if Heath were here, he would be doing this, but Jason's not doing that at all. And like, he has big, strong hands, but when he holds me, they're so gentle.
But they are strong. They are strong.
Need. Yeah. He doesn't feel the need to exert that strength.
He doesn't need to possess me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which he doesn't.
Great. Oh, that's something. I think that's a big thing I liked about the differences between the blurb on the back between our books is that yours said possessive and mine said jealous. Mm. Because I feel like possessive is so much worse.
Scarier.
Yeah. Because it comes scarier. With jealousy, but it's also like,
it's you acting. Are
mine. It's like very, like you take full on ownership as though you're a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is definitely scarier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. Like, I think that there's like a real possibility that like someone could read this and read those things in it and be like, oh, maybe my boyfriend does suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe my friend's boyfriend does suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you the Katie or are you the Raquel?
True.
Have to be one of them.
There's everybody only.
Look at your shoes. Are they unusual?
No longer is it virgin and whore. It is Katie Raquel.
Katie Raquel.
Brown hair clip, unusual shoe.
Yeah.
Your only options, lady.
But yeah, I guess it was a fun read, even though it was, like you said.
Again, structurally one of the stronger.
Structurally strong, very, very stupid.
Yeah.
With like three very cool things that happen.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, what more can you ask from one of these books?
That's right.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on and doing this show.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was great. Really appreciate it. You were awesome. Oh. Do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would just say read Podmas. It's a column that the AV Club does every Monday, and it rounds up the previous week's best podcasts. And you guys have been shouted out on there numerous times. And lots of great stuff on there. And I'm actually, it's so fun editing because I find new shows to listen to every single week. Just check that out.
Cool.
Awesome.
I used to read that just obsessively.
Really?
Obsessively.
Mm, me too.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, I wish I could be on this
list. Look at you now.
I am.
You've got a best cast.
You're
You've
gonna
got a
do it.
Yeah, but don't listen to the commenters because they complain about shows a lot.
Never.
And we're very show positive on Podmas.
Yeah,
we like
you
everything.
Are.
So yeah,
it's a good feature, and you do a good job.
Yeah, thank you do a great
so
job.
Much.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. If you are reading along, the next thing we are going to be talking about is Game of Triumphs.
Oh yeah.
A book about like tarot and other maybe murder. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is a newer book mm-hmm. that we are doing because our guest will be Veronica Osorio, who you may know from the Forever Dog podcast, Treks in the City.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's going to have a new podcast on the network about tarot cards. Yeah. So that's why we chose it.
Very awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Sounds like a future write-up for podcasts.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Brett is shaking his fist in triumph.
It's Heath. Triumph. Heath has his body.
called you out, motherfucker.
And we wanted to also say a huge thank you to our Patreon listeners. You guys make our show possible. You essentially help produce our show, and that's we're so thankful for that.
Yeah, you're way better than Brett. Brett just does a bunch of work, but you guys make it possible. it helps us pay our guests. It helps reimburse for parking. It helps buy books.
Yeah,
everything.
So we really appreciate it. If you guys want to get on board with the Patreon train, go to patreon.com/teencreeps. And that's where you can find out all of the lovely details there. You can follow our show on social media at Teen Creeps Pod.
Mm-hmm. Any of the ones you can think of. That's where we are
mm-hmm. on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So that about wraps it up. Thank you again, Marnie.
Thank you so much. Marnie.
This was great. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for listening and keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.